Ten Commandments. We've been looking at the seventh commandment, Exodus 20, verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. And of course, everybody understands that that forbids the physical act, adultery, fornication. But we've been looking the last few weeks at, as in all the Ten Commandments, Christ takes them further in the New Testament. And the commandments forbid anything outside of the bounds of marriage. And again, marriage is a God-set boundary, whether man likes it or not. So it forbids anything outside of the bounds of marriage which would promote, suggest, or arouse sexuality. All of that is forbidden under this seventh commandment. We've seen so far that, of course, would include all uncleanness in word or action. Covers communications, whether they be verbal, whether they be written. However, we saw last week that, of course, it forbids all pornography, all nakedness outside, whether that, again, whether that's printed or visual, doesn't matter. Forbids all pornography. We want to look today that it forbids all improper touching. All improper touching. Any touching outside of marriage, we're talking male and female, that would encourage, that might stimulate or arouse sexual desires, is unwise, is sinful, and has to be avoided. Has to be avoided. Any situations, any circumstances that might lead to such must be avoided. And if we find ourselves in such a situation or circumstance, we're to flee. We're to get out of there as fast as possible. A good example, of course, is Joseph. If we turn over to Genesis chapter 39. We see that Joseph is in the house of Potiphar. And we read in verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. As a result of that, he was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. His master, that would be Potiphar, saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Joseph found grace, or he found favor, in Potiphar's eyes, and he served him, and he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put into his hands. And it came to pass, from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house. The reason for that was for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. He knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored But then something happened. Verse 7, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. Joseph is not at fault here. She cast his eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused, and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither have kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife." Those are very important words. Because thou art his wife. Those words should have convicted her, but of course they didn't. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Not only would he be sinning against Potiphar, not only would he be sinning against Potiphar's wife, not only would he be sinning against his own body, but more importantly, he would be sinning against God. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went in the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And then, of course, we know the story. She made a false accusation. Joseph would end up in prison. But we see he fled. He fled. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, we read these two words, "Flee fornication." Flee fornication. That goes against the thinking of most people. Flee fornication. Have enough character, have enough courage to flee fornication. That is a very stern command. The word "flee" is very forceful. It's a very emphatic word. Flee fornication. That simply means that we are to avoid it. We are to escape it. Flee fornication. Now, that not only has reference to the physical act, but I believe it has reference to any situation, any circumstance that would lead, that could lead, in that direction. Any circumstance that might be an incentive toward fornication, adultery, flee it, avoid it, escape it. Now that would most certainly include improper touching. And by improper touching, we mean touching in a matrimonial way. Something that is reserved between husband and wife. It would include any kind of sexual advancement. Notice in Genesis 26. Genesis 26, verses 6 through verse 11, we see that King Abimelech observed something here. We see that Isaac, in verse 6, dwelt in Gerar, And the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, "She's my sister." For he feared to say, "She's my wife," lest, said he, the men of the place would kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window, and saw, and behold, that is, he stopped to watch, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. That is, he was caressing her. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, this is the conclusion that Abimelech drew from what he saw, "Behold, of a surety, she is thy wife." Well, how did he know that? Because of the way that he was touching her. "She is, and how sayest thou, she is my sister?" And Isaac said unto him, "Because I said, lest I die for her." So Abimelech rightly concluded that Isaac and Rebekah were husband and wife because of what he saw. All such touching is to be within the bounds of marriage. Again, Hebrews 13 and verse 4, we have the word marriage and the bed. Putting it together, the marriage bed. May I say, the marriage bed is a private place. It's not a public place. It's a private place. Isaac was sporting or caressing with Rebekah. He erred not restricting it to privacy. This touching, this caressing is for husband and wife only. Only. And it is to be in private. Sexual sins, anything that encourages such, anything that might lead to such, we are to flee. We are to do so because one reason is our bodies belong to the Lord. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. See, people need to have enough respect for others, enough respect for God, enough respect for themselves to stay within God's bounds of marriage. In verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 6, we again see that word, those words, "flee fornication." And he goes on and he gives some characteristics of this sin. "Every sin that a man doeth is without the body." He's referring to all kinds of sins now. He says, these can be done not involving our body. "But he that committeth fornication," he is separating this sin from the other sins now. "He that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." That is, he or she, whoever it is, or both, defile and dishonor their body. Their body is defiled. Their body is dishonored. And once again, I would remind you, I do know what century it is. But this is what God's Word says. They defile, they dishonor their bodies. What? He asked a question, kind of in a shocking and amazing way. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? All these people that say, it's my body, I'll do with it whatever I please, you are dead wrong. It is God's. It is God's. Ye are not your own. And he goes on to tell why you're bought with a price. That takes us down into chapter 7. We see not only is fornication to be abstained from or fled from because the body belongs to the Lord, and to commit such a sin is to defile and dishonor our own bodies and cause someone else to dishonor and defile their body. But we see also that the body is to be reserved for husband and wife. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me. The implication is that they had written Paul asking him some questions. These were questions regarding marriage. As you read through 1 Corinthians 7, that is very obvious. He says it is good for a man not to touch a woman. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Now that has to be taken within the context. It has to be taken within the context. Does that mean that male and female should not shake hands? Is that what that means? No, I don't think so. But I would go that far before I'd go the other way. It is not good for a man to touch a woman. And I believe that means, in the context, he's talking about marriage, and it means in a conjugal way, in a matrimonial way. Verse 2, nevertheless, to avoid fornication. Fornication is to be avoided. To avoid fornication. It is not something that we are to get close to. It is not something that we are to fool around with. You do not put yourself in those situations. It is to be avoided. If you keep a mark there and go to Proverbs chapter 4. Now, Proverbs 4 is not talking specifically about fornication or adultery. It's talking about all sin. But in verse 14, it says, enter not into the path of the wicked. That is, don't go there. I mean, that's not hard to understand. Enter not. What does that mean? It means don't go there. Enter not into the path of the wicked. And many would have spared themselves dishonor and defilement had they not gone there. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not, again, don't go there, in the way of evil men. Avoid it. That doesn't mean hang around it. Avoid it. Pass not by it. That is, do not get close to it. But if you do happen upon it, turn from it and pass away. That is good advice. That advice would have saved many a marriage and much defilement. Now back in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Two very important words. Own wife. Three words. His own wife. No one else. It goes on. And let every woman have her own husband. His own wife. Her own husband. Again, the body is reserved for husband and wife. It is not for anyone else. Not for anyone else. Verse 3, let the husband render unto the wife. This is male and female, by the way. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, due love, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. Again, husband, wife, husband. This is God's bounds. This is God's bounds. And again, as we've already said, even if we did not have the Word of God to tell us these things, common sense, simple observation, look around at people who live loose, immoral lives. Look at the mess of their life. Just the message right there is, stay away from it. Stay away from it. But we do have the Word of God. Goes on to say, the wife hath not power of her own body or authority, but the husband. There it is again, wife, husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other. The denial of the use of the marriage bed, we'll put it that way. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent, agreement, for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again in a matrimonial way, the marriage bed, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. So men and women who are morally loose, careless, and thoughtless enough to permit the opposite sex to caress their bodies, they are in sin. They are not only in sin, they are in great danger of falling into even greater sin. There must be boundaries. And God's boundary is the marriage bed. That's God's boundary. And if man would regard that, we'd be much better off. Again, improper touching makes provision for the flesh, which we're warned against. In Romans 13 and verse 14, we're not to make provision for the lust of the flesh. So this command forbids that which would lead to the physical act. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Next week we'll see that the command also forbids environments that would promote. Environments and activities that would promote adultery or fornication. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we again thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, as we again thank you for your commands, and Lord, we know that they're there for our good, for our well-being. Lord, we pray that you would give us greater understanding of the commandments that you've set as a fence around us to protect our own selves. And Lord, we just thank you for those things. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be more like thee. Help us, Lord, today to worship you in a way that would give you honor and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.